is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. This is the Long War Journal with Bill Raggio. Bill and his colleague Tom Jossen and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal. The chronology, the explanation, the illustration of the vast canvas of the Ummah in the contest with the jihadists. Right now we're concentrating on one part of that map. This is Afghanistan. Why is in the news? The U.S. has made a decision. NATO has gone along with that decision to pull back and turn the Afghan defenses over to the National Army, the police, and the government in Kabul. We begin, however, as we do all the time now, with an important illustration of the problem. I call it the map. Bill Raggio keeps a map of Afghanistan, divided up into the provinces, divided up into the districts. And that map tells you that the Taliban is aggressive. Aggressive to the point that this story in the Times of London makes sense. It is a tragedy, but there it is, what's going on. A popular comedian was among several people summarily killed by Taliban forces in Afghanistan, where tens of thousands of refugees are fleeing the advancing insurgents, with fighting raging on the outskirts of Kandahar, the second city in the country. Nazar Muhammad, an entertainer, was dragged from his home and killed. Militants were said to be going house to house, searching for government workers in the province. Photographs showed the comedian, who had previously served in the local police, backed up against a tree and then lying on the ground with his throat cut. The Taliban denied involvement in the murder, but Muhammad's family accused the insurgents. Bill, a very good evening to you. Kandahar. There is fighting at the outskirts of Kandahar, the second largest city. Your map has Kandahar in government control. We spoke a week ago about the map, and at that point, Kandahar was not seen as risk, contested, but not at risk. What has changed in the south? What has changed on the map? Good day to you, Bill.
Hello, John. Yeah, and certainly not a good evening in Afghanistan. Haven't been many of those in quite some time. So Kandahar City, it's a city as well as a district. So Afghanistan has 407 of these districts. Think of them as counties here in the United States. It's currently contested. It has been contested for some time. The Taliban have been launching attacks in there and control some outlying areas of the city, which they use to launch attacks. Over the last 2 weeks, particularly, the Taliban have been launching significant attacks inside of the city and into neighborhoods almost to the heart of the city. They've approached the large jail there. A curfew had to be imposed on the city in order to try and limit the movement at night. You're seeing police and military forces attacked. The fighting is particularly intense at time and brutal. The U.S. military has launched airstrikes in support of Afghan military and police forces inside of Kandahar City, which increases the risk of civilian casualties from the U.S. side. The Taliban is able to do what it's doing in Kandahar, and not just Kandahar City, but there's 17 other cities that are under direct threat of the Taliban right now, where the Taliban are either inside neighborhoods within the city or launching attacks on the city from the outside. So Kandahar isn't unique, although it is one of the most important cities inside the country. It was the home of the Taliban. It's really where the Taliban ruled when they controlled Afghanistan, or most of it, 90% of it, up till September 10th, 2001. This latest offensive and with Kandahar City was facilitated by the Taliban's takeover of four strategic districts surrounding the city. This began in late May and up and through June and July. They took control of the Zari and Argandab and Dand and Shawali Kot. It controls the reaches to Kandahar City. There's only one district called Daman and it's contested along with the city. And that's to the sort of the southeast and east of Kandahar City, and that's their Taliban are fighting to try to gain control of that. And once that happens, it will they'll have the city under a stranglehold. As I noted, attacks are occurring in the city, and they're all occurring from the shockingly from the north, the west, and the south, because the Taliban control those districts. This is how the Taliban has used its rural insurgency strategy to creep closer and closer to the cities and to ultimately strangle them. And then also the Taliban is launching, starting to execute government workers and civilians. It's select, but it is happening. It's happening in and around Kandahar City, and it's happening in Spin Baldock, which is a district along the border with a crucial border crossing to where more than $1 billion the Afghan government used to get. The Taliban now control that border crossing to Pakistan, and there's reports that they executed, I've seen anywhere from 150 to over 300 members of a police unit that was vehemently opposed to the Taliban. That unit has been defeated, and they fled back to Kandahar City, where they're now putting up opposition, sort of a last stand to the Taliban.
Bill, I'm looking at the map that you've built very carefully for us about Taliban operations in and around Kandahar City. It would appear that the Taliban have cut the main road from Kabul. Is that correct, or is that road being fought over?
The roads are really difficult to assess. At the very least, so there's districts that are under Taliban control, between Kandahar and Kabul. That's the ring road or route one. It's the main highway in Afghanistan. But the Afghan government, occasionally they'll be able to run convoys to and from. So holding a road is a lot more difficult. They can run convoys. They'll come under attack. But so the fact that eastern approach to Kandahar City is still open, if that was Taliban controlled, they could really put the squeeze on the city. So yeah, we're actually, John, you're getting a little ahead of me here, but we're working on a map to try and assess the status of the roads throughout Afghanistan. It's very complicated. What the Taliban often does on the roads is put up checkpoints and blocking points at times, but it's fluid. Sometimes they'll pull them to use operations elsewhere. But this is how they were able to take control of Spin Baldock. They just marched down that road, laid roadblocks, and took control of the road so the Afghan military couldn't reinforce the Spin Baldock. And again, that's a crucial district. At times these roads will open and military convoys, if they roll in big enough, they'll be able to get through. But the Afghan government doesn't control these roads.
It appears that the airstrikes are aimed at southern Kandahar. The general in charge of the U.S. forces explained that the airstrikes are meant to supplement the Afghan National Army and the Afghan police. At the same time, the Pentagon has announced that the airstrikes in some fashion will end, and that the U.S. will no longer send in operational spotters. I mean, to have these kind of airstrikes, it means that we have a U.S. personnel on the ground. That's the way that's the protocol. I can't say that that's a fact. That's the protocol. So is your understanding, Bill, that the policy of airstrike is evolving, that they'll change it according to circumstances and continue?
Yeah, the U.S. military, on the direction of the Biden administration, was going to cut off airstrikes as the withdrawal was going on. But that is changing because they are the administration and the U.S. military, which really downplayed the Taliban's offensive at the very beginning of this. When I'm estimating over 100 districts at a certain point in time were overrun, the military was saying like 20 districts were overrun. Now they've caught up to our numbers. There were only about a dozen apart. It's probably because they're behind again, but these airstrikes are happening because they're recognizing that as there's still a U.S. presence in Afghanistan, that cities may actually fall. The airstrikes have primarily focused on Kandahar as well as in Helmand as well. They claim that they're targeting hardware like artillery pieces that the U.S. handed over to the Afghan military, Humvees, armored vehicles, things of that nature. There's a lot of confusion over the issue of airstrikes and what over the horizon means and what they're actually going to target. What the military and the administration had said was that these would only be used in a counterterrorism capacity. That means striking at Al-Qaeda, the Islamic State, groups like that, but not necessarily the Taliban, which they wrongly viewed as something disconnected from all this. In the case of the Islamic State, that's true. The Taliban and the Islamic State are enemies. That makes Al-Qaeda the enemy of the Islamic State as well. But with Al-Qaeda, how do you discern between the two groups? The Taliban is sheltering, supporting, and Al-Qaeda is fighting alongside the Taliban in Helmand and Kandahar. And I've heard reports, I've had information that some of these strikes have been targeting Al-Qaeda, in particularly in Helmand, where the Al-Qaeda has a significant presence, but also in Kandahar. So I think there's, I think this has been used to, I don't want to say trick, but to muddle the issue, and has allowed the U.S. to engage the Taliban. Because, you know, when they talk counterterrorism, a lot of, you know, the casual watcher doesn't know that that is supposed to mean Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State. But to me, it's a direct recognition that this withdrawal was not responsible as the U.S. military has labeled it. It's been completely irresponsible because they didn't factor in the Taliban's offensive, which, by the way, is a complete intelligence failure from the Afghan military, Afghan intelligence, and U.S. military, U.S. intelligence. Same goes for NATO. No one saw this coming. I think, John, as you and your listeners know, we did. We've talked about this. We saw this coming, and we were warning about this. It's the entire reason
I created this map in 2014. Your map saw it coming for years. Years. I mean, it wasn't hard to see the logic of what the Taliban was doing.
It's the reason I created this map, was to serve as a warning to show people, hey, this isn't working. What we're doing, this population-centric counterinsurgency, isn't working. The Afghan government can't stand up to this. And the Taliban waited for the U.S. to announce its withdrawal and waited till that May 1st deadline so it could look like it was legitimately following the Doha deal, which we all know is a farce, and pulled the trigger and launched its offensive. You know, John, I actually powered down my work a little bit in the winter because I knew that when this happened, there would be a crush. I've been working ridiculous amount of, 14, 16, 18 hour days trying to figure out what's going on here and track this. I knew I needed to take a little break in the spring and write a little bit less. And, you know, it doesn't mean I wasn't watching and reading, that's how much I knew this was coming. And the fact that General Miller is out there saying, well, we have to figure out how and why this happened. Well, I could have told you that in the winter, or I could have told you this 2 years ago. I could have told you this 4 years ago, how and why. I'm not the top general in Afghanistan. I'm some guy working in New Jersey that just follows this closely. This is a complete failure on a political level, an intelligence level, a military level, a failure in leadership. And in one day, I hope Tom and I are able to write the book about this, because it is disgraceful what's happened. And we need to tell this story.
Bill Raja, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He and Tom Justin and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal. When we come back, the capitals of Eurasia are witnessing this collapse of the Afghan army to defend itself. What are they doing about it? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.